95 FM Shreveport Greenwood, 100.1 FM Lake Charles, and KQJO 99.3 FM St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Restoring Faith broadcast, and I am Dr. Christopher Manuel, pastor of the Smyrna, Maranatha, and Natchitoches First Seventh-day Adventist Churches here in Alexandria and Natchitoches, Louisiana. We desire to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world in the final moments of Earth's history. And now, today's broadcast.
Praise the Lord, everybody. I would like to talk to you upon the subject, a love that transforms. A love that transforms. Being in love changes everything today. Yes. For instance, a young lady was reading a large book for her university English literature course. She found the whole thing very boring and could barely stay focused when reading it. But then she met a striking young professor on campus, and they quickly fell in love. And soon after, she realized her beloved was the author of the book she had struggled to read. That night, she stayed up and devoured the entire book, exclaiming, "This is the best book I have ever read." What changed her perspective? I tell you what, love did. The same today. Many today find scripture boring, oppressive, and unappealing. But that all changes when you fall in love with the author of the scriptures. Let's look here, maybe this, a love that transforms, will answer some questions. So the first question that we have to answer, and we're going to use scripture to answer that, is who is the author of scripture? The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 1, verse 10 and 11, listen to what the Bible says. The prophets have inquired, searched carefully, searching what or what matter of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. So who is the author of Scripture? The Bible teaches that the God of the Bible is the author of Scripture. Even the Old Testament is virtually always Jesus Christ. You see, Jesus created the world, wrote the Ten Commandments, was the God of the Israelites, and guided the writings of the prophets. So Jesus Christ is the author of Scripture. Well, when thinking further, what is Jesus' attitude toward the people of earth? Well, you know that old familiar verse, John 3:16. What is Jesus' attitude toward the people of earth? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. And I like to often implement verse 17 of John 3. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Somebody ought to say amen. You see, to answer the question, what is Jesus' attitude toward the people of earth? The answer to that is, Jesus loves us all with an indescribable, unfailing love that passes even our own understanding. We can't even understand the love that Jesus has for us. I know we write in here. Well, there's another thing that we have to ponder. And asking about a question about the love that transforms. Why should we love Jesus? 1 John 4 and verse 19 and Romans 5 verse 8, it tells us, why should we love Jesus? We love him because he first loved us. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Why should we love Jesus? The simple and short answer, we should love him because he loved us enough to die for us while we were yet his enemies. We have a hard enough time just trying to give our enemies a cold cup of water. We have a hard enough time just trying to remember our enemies during the holiday seasons that are now approaching. Think about that, beloved. So in what respects are a successful marriage and a Christian life, how are they similar? In what respects are a successful marriage and a Christian life similar? 1 John 3 and verse 22, get this. And whatever we ask, we receive from him because we keep his commandments and do what? We do those things that are pleasing in his sight. So what respects are a successful marriage and a Christian life? How are they similar? You see, in a good marriage, certain things are imperative, such as faithfulness to one's spouse. You see, other things may not seem major, but if they please a spouse, they are necessary. If they displease, they should be discontinued. So it is with the Christian life. commands of Jesus are imperative. But in Scripture, Jesus has also outlined for us principles of conduct that please him. As in a good marriage, a Christian finds it sheer joy to do the things that make Jesus, the one he loves, happy. He also avoids the things that would displease him as well. Well, here comes another question, brothers and sisters, that we need to answer when we talk about a love that transforms. What does Jesus say are the results of doing the things that please him? That's St. John, chapter 15, verse 10 and 11. It says, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. These things have I spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. So what does Jesus say are the results of doing the things that please him? The short answer, you see, the devil claims that to follow Christian principles is drab and dull, demeaning and legalistic. But Jesus says it brings the fullness of joy and a more abundant life. Believing the devil's lies, it only brings heartache and it only deprives people of life that is really worth living. Well, brothers and sisters, we need to move on. Got to answer another question here when we talk about a love that transforms. What does Jesus give us? Why does he give us specific principles for Christian living? Number one, because they are for our own good always. Deuteronomy 6 and 24. You see, as good parents teach good principles to their children, so Jesus teaches good principles to his children. So why does Jesus give us specific principles for Christian living? Because they set for us a safeguard from sin. Psalms 119, verse 11. You see, Jesus' principles protect us from entering the danger zone principles of Satan and sin. It's just like when you have to sign up, when you're driving by, and say the road is out. You don't have to take that and keep on going. Why does Jesus give us specific principles for Christian living? Because they show us how to follow in Christ's footsteps. 1 Peter 2, 21. Well, there are some other reasons why he gives us specific principles for Christians. Well, there are some other reasons because they bring us true happiness. John 13 and verse 17. Why does Jesus give us specific principles for Christian living? Because they give us an opportunity to express our love for him. John 15 and verse 10, brothers and sisters, we need to keep up with this thing. Why does he give us specific principles for Christian living? Because they help us to be the right example to others. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 31 and 33, and Matthew 5, 16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, or they may observe your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. When we talk about a love that transforms, brothers and sisters, there's a lot of other things that comes to mind. We have to realize how much when we are in love with Jesus, when Jesus is in us, that sometimes the enemy, he don't play fair. And let me clue you in on something. He's not going to play fair anyway because he wants you to burn with him. So according to Jesus, how should we as Christians relate to the evil of the world and to the worldliness that's in it? Well, the short answer is Jesus's commands and he counsels us are clear and specific. He says, don't love the world or the things that are of the world. The things of the world that are not of God are the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. That's 1 John 2 and verse 16. All sin falls into one or more of these three categories. And Satan uses these three avenues to lure us into loving the world. And when I begin to love the world, guess what happens to us? We become enemies of God, and we don't want that. No, 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 no. So according to Jesus, how should Christians relate to the evil of the world and to the worldliness that's in it? Second part of that is, I must keep myself, as James 1:27 says, I must keep myself unspotted to the world. It's not that you take yourself out and you live as a hermit. No, ma'am. No, sir. It's that you got to know with your common sense in which God has given you not to put yourself in places where you'll be tempted. I just said something to somebody right there. You can't see if you are a recovering addict or has recovered from addictions that God has delivered you from, you might not want to find yourself back with people who do cocaine and do heroin and smoke reefer. You don't want to, or even drink. You don't want to find yourself in those type of areas. So what is this? What earth of warning does God give us regarding the world? What does it warn us about? Short answer that Jesus warns Christians, don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the best way you and I can transform our minds is to allow the word of God, that love that transforms, to transform our minds. The devil is not neutral in this. He presses every Christian constantly. Jesus, I must firmly resist the devil's suggestions, and he will flee from me. He said, draw nigh unto God, James says, 4:7, and he'll draw nigh unto you. You see, the minute that we permit the squeezing of any other factor to influence our conduct, we perceptibly begin slipping and slipping away. Christian behavior is not to be decided by the feelings and conduct of the majority, but only by Jesus' words that come from Scripture. You can't go with your feelings, because your feelings will change in a moment's notice. You may be broke one while and somebody give you $1,000. Whoop, your feelings just changed right there. You got to go upon Jesus' word. Why do we need to guard our thoughts when we're talking about things like that? Why do we need to guard our thoughts? Proverbs 23 and verse 7 tells us, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. You see, we must guard our thoughts because thoughts dictate our behavior. God wants to help us bring every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ, 2 Corinthians 10:5. But Satan desperately wants to bring the world into our thoughts. He can do this only through our five senses. There it is, that common sense that God has given you. He gave you the Holy Ghost, and he gave you faith. But watch this. He's also giving you what? Five senses, especially sight and hearing. You see, he presses his sight and sounds upon us all, talking about the devil, unless we consistently refuse to look or listen to what he offers, he'll direct us into the broad way that leads to destruction. You see, the Bible is crystal clear. We do not become like the things we repeatedly see and hear, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. Well, brothers, I had to move, and sisters, I had to move on. We'll close this lesson, but I want to share this last question with you before we move on. What are some principles for Christian living? And the Bible teaches us here in Philippians 4:8, whatever things that are true and whatever things are noble and just and pure and lovely, and whatever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, you need to meditate on these things. What are some principles for a Christian living? Here is one of them. Christians must separate themselves from all things that are not true, from all things that are not honest, from all things that are not pure, from all things that are not lovely, and from all things that are not of a good report. They will avoid dishonesty of every kind, cheating and stealing and gossiping and being unfair and intent to deceive, slander and betray, cut people off and do any other thing that you think that you're big and bad enough to do. That's what we got to learn how not to do, brothers and sisters.
You've been listening to the Restoring Faith broadcast with yours truly, Dr. Christopher Manuel. You are invited to join me at the Smyrna Seventh-day Adventist Church every first and second Saturday for divine worship service at 11 a.m. and Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. located at 916 Richmond Drive in Alexandria, Louisiana. And on the third and fourth Saturday for divine worship service at 10 a.m. and Tuesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. at the Maranatha Seventh-day Adventist Church located at 4517 South MacArthur Drive in Alexandria, Louisiana. Beloved, your gifts and love offerings can help keep this ministry on the air. Send your correspondence to 916 Richmond Drive, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71302, and join us every Tuesday at 10 a.m. on KAYT KQJO for the Restoring Faith broadcast. Be blessed.
The unstoppable way,
Hello, Governor John Bel Edwards here, reminding you that it's hurricane season, and now is the time to get a game plan. This year, that game plan will also need to include protective measures against the ongoing COVID-19 public health crisis. Closely monitor the weather and follow the advice of local officials. Being proactive is the best way to keep you and your family safe this hurricane season. For more information, please visit getagameplan.org. Be safe, and God bless.
Thank you.